Hi, and welcome to Teen Talks, a podcast to talk about teen issues with teens. Today we will hear from the Teen Task Force, which is currently made up of juniors and seniors from Chatham and Madison High School, who represent the youth sector of the Madison-Chatham Coalition, whose goal it is to prevent and reduce youth substance use. Many of these students joined their sophomore years, and we're excited to be able to talk about the journey and speak on this. Today, we have a special edition episode on college. All of the students wanted to talk about an issue that has caused stress for them and many of their friends. And we're excited to see where the juniors are on this process, and for the seniors who have completed this long college process, we're excited to hear what they have to say about their preparation, stressors, and coping strategies, and what they're all ready to share about what they wish they knew before they started.
Okay, so let's get started. So we have with us tonight predominantly seniors, right? I see one junior. So I guess the first question is, how early did the college process start for you? So studying, test taking, college visits, applications, how early did the process start for you?
So I'm currently a senior, and I would say that my process started freshman or sophomore year, as my sister was looking at colleges, and when I went with her, I kind of could tell immediately off the bat what I didn't want more than what I did want in a college. And so I think that was like the easiest thing. I started to like narrow down through like just kind of visual like cues from schools and like their information sessions, like what I notably did not like. And then I would say, like, obviously amped up in junior year when you start tutoring or taking the ACT, if you just kind of go for it.
I'm also a senior in high school, and I would have to agree with Emma. My brother is 2 years older than me, and he started looking at college when he was a sophomore. So I was in eighth grade at that point, and we both were looking to go into athletics in college. So we were trying to compare like how important academics were along with athletics. Ultimately, we are both going to the Naval Academy, which we're not playing a sport, but it was really important for me to see at a young age like how much I did end up valuing academics over a potential athletic career.
So the two of you that we've heard from so far have older siblings. What about those of you that don't have older siblings?
I'm the oldest, and my parents definitely kind of dove headfirst into the process since they were, like, trying to be very proactive about it. So I would say freshman year is, like, I started to, like, look at potential colleges, and then sophomore and junior year is where I really, like, explored it more. I knew that I wanted to go into nursing, so that, like, definitely narrowed down my options as well. And, yeah, junior year was kind of a beast of, like, tests and everything, and then the application process senior year was definitely a lot of work for me since I pretty much had supplemental essays for all my schools.
Okay, so we've heard from current seniors that, you know, junior year really was when it started amping up, and we also have a Teen Task Force member who is currently a junior. So what is your perspective on where you are right now in the process?
Right now, me, along with most other juniors, are trying our hardest to get a good score on the SAT and the ACT, whether that is through like hours of coaching or extensive studying, just to make sure that we get to that place that we really want to be in order to submit our scores to the colleges and schools that we want to go to, and to make sure that like whatever we get is something that allows us to go where we want to go.
I feel like as much as test scores are important, it's also nice that now there are most schools are test optional, so it's not something that you need to get as stressed about. So if you don't do well your first time, or if you continue going through the testing, you'll be able to find a place that doesn't require your scores and looks at other aspects of your academic and extracurricular activities.
How many of you took the SATs or the ACTs more than once? Four of you did. Okay, so did you feel like you did that because, why did you do that?
I had one school that was definitely not test optional, and they have reasons for it, which I kind of admire, but I don't know how I feel about standardized testing. I'm naturally a strong test taker. I think that it's kind of sometimes genetic, and I got lucky in that realm, but I also think that even a good test score, when you know the school is test optional, makes you an interesting applicant because they'll tell you that they don't like look at it until the very end, but if that's the one factor that can push you over the edge, I like wanted to have a score that was competitive enough to do that for me. So I did take it multiple times. My original score ended up being the score that I submitted because it was the best one I got, but I increased in other areas, just the composite never really went up from it. So I don't know if it was worth it, but I definitely wanted to give myself like opportunity to try and do better.
So there's an aspect of the ACT and probably the SAT that's the super score. And so that was a big reason that I took it, because a lot of my colleges also took the super score. And another thing is I took the first one without like really any studying for it to get a handle on what the test was, and then I started getting tutoring for it after the fact. So I kept taking it because I was getting tutoring for it to see if my score was improving, and it also like built on my super score. But another thing that's like something to talk about, she just talked about how like she's a strong test taker. I would say I'm probably not the best standardized test taker, especially with the ACT, because you have to be really fast at when you're answering questions, and I would say I'm probably a little bit slower in like multiple choice kind of thing. And something that was interesting was I didn't study at all for like 4 months between my third and fourth test, because I waited over the summer into my senior year. And my last test ended up being my highest score because it was like all of the stress was off and I didn't really think about it. And I think that's something that's like really important to talk about in standardized testing, is sometimes the pressure is what like keeps your scores like stagnant. And so sometimes it's good to just like take a break from like all of the pressure of the testing.
It's actually really funny that you say that, because I had a really similar experience with a last like test score increase. I submitted my application for college in July, but the Naval Academy is rolling, so I was able to update my test scores, and I had already signed up to take the October ACT as like one last final push to see if I could increase from what I had, and it did end up going up a significant amount, which was surprising because I hadn't studied any additional times, and it was just kind of like the stress was over, like you said, and it was just kind of like to see what you could do. And going back to like what Tanisi said, I did want to give myself like the best opportunity possible to kind of beat out another applicant, which is like a bad term to say, but it is a super competitive process, and I feel like a lot of the girls and guys in our grade are seeing that right now with some surprising decisions.
A big thing and goal that I had before starting my senior year was applying to half the colleges that I wanted to apply to. And I think that this definitely took off like a lot of the pressure that I felt. So like as soon as August 1st hit, I was filling out the Common App and I was trying to do everything in my power just to get a head start on college applications. And this definitely like took off a huge weight off my shoulders. Like it took a while for like counselors and like my letters of recommendation to go in. At the end of the day, that's like out of your control. And ultimately, I think the hardest part for me was just like waiting. I was lucky enough to find out almost all my decisions in December, and I did apply early decision. So any other schools that like I didn't hear back from, I withdrew. I would definitely like recommend applying early, because that was just like such a relieving thing for me to know as soon as possible. And apply to a rolling admission school, because then I found out in October I was in somewhere, which was so nice.
So I had a similar experience to Shannon. I actually started working on the Common App in July or June, I think, because they don't release the things specific for every school, but they release the same questions that they have every single year. And so I opened up the Common App right when I started the summer and just decided to fill in questions about like my siblings, things that I already knew about and could fill in on my own, or ask my parents like things that were specific to them and like what they majored in, filled that out. So I kind of had that completed. So really supplements were the only thing I had left starting in August, and it really helped me. I think I applied to all but one or two schools by the time school started. So I applied to 10. I think I had 8 done by that point, which was really helpful for me, just because I didn't want to have the start of senior year, which is kind of stressful with like a lot of schoolwork being heavy in that beginning semester. I didn't want to like overlap with applications. And when a lot of kids in my classes were stressing, like I was the one person who kind of was like, oh, well, that's already done for me. Nobody really likes to hear that when they're a little anxious about it, but it really helped me. And I would say that the hardest thing is knowing where to apply, and also like feeling as if you're like an eligible applicant for that school, because you kind of judge yourself based on your test scores and your GPA. And when you look at like our school is Naviance, where you can see where you are on that little map of green and red. And if you think you're not good enough and you don't take a chance on a school, it can definitely like hurt you in the long run. I think that like everyone has like an interesting story to tell, but the colleges are kind of a game of luck. You might think somebody deserves to go there more than you, or they've visited before and you haven't, and things like that. But it kind of all just comes down to whether or not. I really have no idea what it comes down to be honest. I'm still waiting to find out myself, but I think it's just kind of this game of chance and whether your admissions director is feeling like they want to let you in on that day, to be honest. That's what it's feeling like right now.
Kiana, you want to talk to that as an admissions counselor?
You are right when it comes to like comparing, because a lot of times you have these kids that based off like their GPA and what they're involved in, you're like, oh, they're definitely going to get in. But sometimes that might not be the case compared to another student who might not be involved as much stuff for a GPA. I think it just varies from the school, and then also like when you apply, because a lot of times the later you apply, they've already filled those seats already too. So
one thing that I think really helped me at least like calm my nerves was I had to do a lot of in-person interviews, and I'm not the most extroverted person by any means. I don't really like talking to big crowds of people, but being able to connect to someone like one-on-one gives your application like a little bit more life, and they can see, like they can read your mannerisms. If you can practice like potential questions or just honestly like connecting with someone one-on-one, I think it really did help my application, and it gave me another point of contact to reach out to within the schools. A lot of my work for like once I submitted my application was how many people can I reach out to per week, how many people can I get to review my application, and just how many people can you get on your side from each school. And I think interviewing in person, I would 100% recommend it to anyone who is questioning.
We have talked about the application process and when it started for you all and testing and interviewing and all of those things. So let's say you're beyond that and now you are starting to consider what schools like are actual options for you. What about college visits? Like, what were you all looking for? Or in your case, what are you looking for? What were things that you didn't like or didn't want? Let's talk about that piece of it.
So for the most part, whenever I was on college tours, I was kind of like, I wasn't really sure what to expect, but in hindsight, like I could feel where I felt like good at. And like, I know that the schools that were like narrowed down for me were the ones that I could feel it whenever I was on the campus. But whenever I was like deciding what schools I was even going to visit, my dad was actually very helpful. He like put together a list of like pretty much every possible school option. And then he asked me like what was most important to me. And for me, like I was really interested in like a big like rah-rah type of school, like school spirit, like big football. So that narrowed down like a lot of my options into what I was trying to look for. And then I also just wanted like a big school in general. So that narrowed me down to like quite a short list. And then we went through and narrowed it down from there, like of places I wouldn't want to live or what was too far away, et cetera, et cetera. Like what didn't have majors I was interested in. So I think like starting with a big list is kind of helpful. And then narrowing it down based on the characteristics that you're looking for in a school is really helpful.
So similar to Elise, I also had like a very long list that I narrowed down. A big thing for me was I toured every single school that I applied to, and it was like basically based on like the vibe. Like as soon as I stepped on campus, I knew whether or not I could picture myself there. And yeah, like I would just look at the students and I would see like, could I be friends with them? Would I walk with them to class? Like I would go in the dining halls. I have a allergy, so it was super important for me to see like what kind of food options they have. And I'm also a nursing major, so it was also important to me to see what kind of like skills labs they had and that kind of thing. And then I also wanted like a big school spirit school, but I didn't want like a huge school, so I applied to mainly mid-sized colleges, but I did apply like all over the East Coast. So yeah.
Unlike the other two, I kind of didn't really know where to start. Looking back at lists from freshman year that I had made about colleges, I don't think I've even heard of some of them. So I'm not really sure where those went. They kind of died off pretty quick. But I do have siblings in college, so I think I'm pretty similar to both of my sisters in that they go to like smaller schools, but they're not like tiny. About like 5,000 or 6,000, I think, is like where each of them go. And I like their community that they have around them, which they have like different, like it's kind of like suburb and city. And those are the two things that I really like, I guess. So I knew I wanted to be near a city, but not necessarily like in it. And I kind of applied to schools that I hadn't even seen before because I knew in my heart, I feel like when I'm applying, I kind of know like, the characteristics of the people I know who go there are people that I like. And so I applied to schools kind of randomly based on that. And I'm now hitting a point where one of the schools I got into is something I've never seen before in a city I've never seen before. So I do have to go tour that before I can even make a decision. But I am interested to see where it takes me. And I think that you don't have to necessarily know when you step on campus if you're gonna love it there, because no matter where you end up, you'll find people. But like having a good idea through like the look of the buildings and like the hominess, I guess, for me is like important.
Did anybody apply to a school that now they've gotten into that maybe when they visited that school they maybe weren't wild about or didn't love, but now you're kind of like in on the other side of it?
Well, like I mentioned, I did apply early decision and I did get into my early decision school, but I did hear back from a lot of my schools before I got that decision. So I did get into some schools that like I didn't necessarily what like it wasn't necessarily my top choice, but obviously I was like so grateful to have that spot and position. And at the end of the day, like when you get an acceptance to a school, it's really like kind of an honor, I would say, because like they want to have you. And like I was getting like a few emails from students like that I was reaching out to, and like a lot of students love the school that they're at. So I think even if you're not as ecstatic about like the school that like you get into, like you will find people there and like you can come to love it.
I feel like my college process is kind of a little bit different than other people's because I started with where I wanted to end up, which sounds a little silly, but I grew up in a military family and I was very fortunate to have the experiences that I did growing up in like tight-knit communities and being able to see like the people who actually are serving our country and how fulfilled they looked and how happy they were. So I knew that that was something I wanted to do from a very young age. That does limit the college process a little bit and make it somewhat harder because outside of service academies, there are ROTC scholarships, which can give you a full ride, or you can just apply afterwards from college. But my dad did attend the Naval Academy as well. And a funny story about my brother, actually, he was waitlisted there for a long time. He found out 2 weeks before the like date you report that he was accepted. And it was a serious conversation in my household if he was going to attend a boarding school and reapply, or if he was going to attend one of his safety schools that he was going to make the best of and then reapply from there. And I think it is important, at least in my family, I wanted to end up serving my country, and I found college was a way to do that for me. Beyond the military, though, it does give me a great education and a great network, which was another point that I considered with other colleges, like the networks and what type of people you can connect with beyond college life.
Delaney, you mentioned, and I remember when your brother was applying and that process for him, because he was a Teen Task Force member as well. So an option for your brother was to do a gap year at a boarding school and then reapply that following year. So is a gap year something that, you know, that you talked about in your families? I know we have somebody that is doing a gap year, so we definitely want to hear your perspective on that.
I originally wasn't planning on doing a gap year until a few months ago, but next year I will be going abroad for a gap year. And I feel like a gap year has like a bad rep with it. But for me personally, I was interested in going to college, but just not yet. And I feel like everybody has a reason. Maybe it's for financial purposes, or for me in my case, it was a unique opportunity. I'll be spending the 6 to 8 months in Milan, where I'll be working for a company and in an internship. So like part of my educational goals were to learn Italian, and I knew that if I put myself out there and spent time where the language is actually spoken, I could learn more than just being in the classroom. So in my sense, I wouldn't be able to achieve my goals in the college setting yet.
Yeah, no, so for sure. And I want to, like, I think a follow-up to that, and I don't need to ask it now, we'll probably ask it at the end, but your perspective on this entire process is very different. Like, you have friends, you know, other Teen Task Force members that are just viewing this from a totally different angle, and you're kind of you have an outside perspective, which is really unique. So we'll ask you about that later on.
I think also because, like,
I did spend my junior year of high school abroad in Spain, so I already had that experience of, like, living with a host family, experiencing the culture, playing charades if I didn't know how to say that I was hungry or whatnot. So I think that experience definitely changed how I decided to progress after my senior year, because I really found value in the experience I had there and the connections I made, that I thought this would be very interesting because I love language learning and for the cultural aspect as well.
The first half of this conversation, we really talked about the technical side of the college application process and test scores and interviews and what went into, you know, the decision about which schools you applied to. But along with that technical and, you know, that tangible side, we also want to touch on the emotional aspect as well, and everything that goes along with that. The stress, you know, the your mental health, coping skills. So when we talk about how you decided about what schools you were going to apply to, serving your country, taking a gap year, you know, you all have such fantastic perspectives on this. What about family and friends? They play a big role in this process as well. So, you know, that might be a good segue for us to move into that emotional side of it, of the process. So what role did your friends, your family, extended family, dentists, doctor, probably everybody, Kiana and I, like, we all have opinions, right, about the schools and the process for you. So what's your feeling about all of that?
So I feel like I kind of have a unique perspective because I'm originally from Kentucky, and the college ideal is very, very different there. Like, most of my, if I had stayed in Kentucky, pretty much probably 75% of my grade is going to the exact same school in the exact same town that they go to high school in. So I had, like, a very different perspective hearing their opinion. Oh, yeah, I just submitted my application to one school, and I'm done, and I'm in, and that's where I'm going. Whereas here it's like, oh, I'm applying to 25 schools. All of them are very prestigious. And so I kind of struggled with that because I'm a very, like, dedicated student, and I take academics very seriously. But for me, like, my priorities in schools, like I kind of already touched on, like, didn't necessarily align with those of, like, super, super prestigious schools. And so I kind of, I had a difficulty, like, dealing with that because I wanted to go to a school where I could further my education in the best way I can. But that's also not to say that any university is not going to give you the same experiences, and it's not going to, like, change your life plan if you go to a school that has a 90% acceptance rate versus a 50% acceptance rate, regardless of where you're going. I just think, like, New Jersey and, like, a lot of towns in the tri-state can, like, definitely push a very, like, intense college thing that makes it really hard for you to focus on what you really want, and, like, kind of redirects your things to what you think people expect of you rather than what you want in your college.
So my family specifically, I do have three older siblings, and they've all been almost through college, and two of them are in graduate school. So for me, I kind of thought that I was going to be the different one. I don't know if this makes any sense, but they all went to, like, smaller schools with, like, Jesuit values, and I really thought that I was going to go to, like, Clemson sophomore year. And my sisters always told me, like, that doesn't sound like you. You don't sound like that person. Like, that doesn't feel like you. And I kind of thought that they just didn't know me well enough to, like, know that. but it kind of turned out that they were right, which is hard to say, especially on a podcast that will be out for the world. When I was touring schools, like on my own with my own perspective, I realized that schools that were very prestigious were not my thing when I wanted them to be. I really wanted to love Johns Hopkins and apply there and hope for the best. But when I stepped on campus, I just felt a very, I don't know how to describe it. It was like an energy that I felt stepping out of the car that just made me want to get back in. And I had just toured Loyola right before that. And I thought I was not going to like that at all, but it was one of, like, the schools that I ended up really liking. I just think that, like, what you're expecting to like sometimes just doesn't feel right in the moment. And so when I, like, wanted to go, like, big school, all, like, rah-rah, as well as Elise, like, ended up doing it, she kind of knew what she was getting herself into. I think when I, like, finally toured a big school, I was complaining the whole time about how long the walk was and, like, all this stuff because I just didn't really understand that, like, big school means big campus, I guess. I just thought it meant, like, a ton of friends and, like, a lot of spirit. I found schools that I applied to had a balance of both, which I really enjoyed. But my family definitely played a huge role, and I think that they knew me better than I knew myself.
Yeah, so kind of similar to what Elise and Emma were saying, in our area, like, everybody kind of wants to be in on your college process. Like, it's not really your college process. It's, like, everybody's college process. And so to me, it was super important to keep it, like, close to myself because I didn't want other people influencing my decisions. So I actually only told my parents where I was applying. And then, like, very close, like, family and friends. I didn't even tell my uncle that I had applied early decision. My best friends didn't know. My siblings didn't know until, like, a week before the decision came out. So it was, like, super important to me just to, like, make the decision for myself and not have other people influence it.
I had that, like, thought before applying, and I was like, imagine how funny it would be if I told nobody except for my parents and then did a giant reveal video, but they actually don't even know where I applied. So I thought this would be, like, such a fun idea, and my whole family was like, no chance you pull that off. Again, they were right, because I could not keep it to myself. I told, like, every time I get a decision back, I text, like, a long list of people where I just heard from.
Well, and I think that that's, like, part of the culture, at least, and, you know, Chatham and Madison, I think you do, right? You tell, you put it in your profile on Instagram or TikTok or whatever, and people just, like, you know where you're going and you know where your friends are going. So I think that's definitely part of the culture, which probably can add stress to it.
I have recently been, like, a little bit more nervous about telling people because the decisions are getting so, like, narrowed down. I think I have two left, and a bunch of people I know have either none or, like, one or two because there's only 3 days left in this process. So it's getting, like, to the point where the ones we have left are the same because a lot of kids at Chatham have applied to the same schools. And so for me, I've been finding it's kind of very stressful as a person who doesn't really like confrontation to have to tell people, like, these decisions came out and then experience their either regret or, like, relief while you're feeling the opposite emotion. So I find that to be hard. But when I noticed that I had gotten in somewhere that was a little bit harder to get into, everyone was so supportive of me, even though I haven't made a decision yet, which I found to be really interesting. And it's helped, like, the stress of the decision process kind of go away because everyone is so excited for you, even if they're faking it. I don't know how they feel truly, I guess, but even their just, like, emotions about, like, that's an amazing school to get into, I'm so happy for you. Like, I'm like, oh, that is an amazing school to get into. Like, I must, like, have done something right. And I feel like it kind of, like, takes that stress away of, like, oh, I do have to make a decision, but at least there are people supporting me through it. So even though the community can be very stressful and everyone applies to a lot of places and you're all each other's competition, at the end of the day, you're each going to one place and everyone wants you to end up at the right one. So I feel like it's not as bad as it made out to be.
And I think that goes back to the impact of friends and family because everyone wants the best for you, like you said, Emma. And seeing the joy of people hearing I had many people who I'm not really sure how they knew who I was. I had my dad's work friends reach out to me and congratulate me. There's a lot of people that do want the best for you, and I think telling them and spreading the joy, because it might bring up good memories for them. There was a lot of people involved in my college process, at least, like all the ACT tutors and all of the counselors, the letters of recommendation, and it's really important, at least in my opinion and my family, to thank those who have helped you. So it was very important for me to share my college process, but that does differ with every person.
You're all saying, everyone has used the word stressful, right? Like whatever you're doing, it's a stressful time. So dealing with other people's opinions and advice and all those things, how have you, now that you're almost to the finish line, how have you coped with it? Not just you, but what do you see, you know, with your peers? You don't have to talk about yourself necessarily, but your peers as well. How do you, this is the most stressful thing, one of the most stressful things of your life so far. So how do people your age deal with this stress? What are your outlets? What are your coping strategies?
For me, I do track, so I definitely like to run and like do yoga. And I also just find it so important to like take time to myself and do things that I actually like doing. So I try to take off like one night a week from homework just to like do self-care and do a face mask or take a bath. And so this definitely helped me a lot. And then just like not really taking like negative comments from other people or like their negative energy to heart, because I'm a person who just wants to like have positive energy and like, yeah.
For me, I would say, like, I probably didn't have, like, too many, like, specific coping mechanisms for the stress of it all. Like, I talk through things a lot, so I would, like, talk with my parents or talk with my brothers about, like, the way I was feeling about it, because all my brothers are older, so they've all gone through it, and so that was something that was helpful. And then I also am, like, a list maker, and, like, I like to write, and so writing was kind of a coping mechanism for me, like, writing down things that I thought about all the schools, or like I said, list. Like, obviously, maybe you don't want to pour more stress onto it, but for me, like, being more informed was, like, helpful. So I would, like, make a list of all the things that I wanted to research for all of my schools, and, like, that's, like, still connected to the college process, but it felt like I was in more control over it, which was, like, helpful to me, which it might not be for everyone. But in general, like, I think, like, with peers, like, a lot of people have different coping mechanisms, and, you know, that could be drinking or smoking or any of that. So it's just like, obviously, college is a really stressful time. And it's just important that people learn how to cope with the right way and safe way.
So I think one of my main coping, I guess, I don't know if this is coping, but an outlet for me was baking. It's easier to feel productive for me if I don't like putting things on the back burner. Well, I don't really like procrastinating, but I do it a lot. So in order to procrastinate things that stress me out, I like to feel productive in a different way. So something I like to do is like read for a long period of time. It doesn't get the work done, but it makes you feel like you're doing something educational. Or like baking for me is a way to make money. So it was like, I'm doing my job and at least I can check this off the box. Like, even if I didn't apply to 5 scholarships today or something like that, I got something done that's one thing less on my plate. So I guess it was like a bit of an added stressor because it takes time, but it also provided me with a way to be financially independent and keep my schoolwork and college process going at the same time, because it's not as much of a hourly job as others.
Yeah, I wanted to divert the topic to kind of like the stressors of what is happening with like the application process. Yeah. Now, there's a lot of pressure from parents to get a really good score, and there's a lot of pressure from like friends when you're comparing scores and you're all taking the SAT together and you ask each other, oh, what did you get? What did you get? And it's really important to keep in mind that some people like are a lot better at standardized testing than other people, like what we previously mentioned. And that like getting a good score or a bad score, like it really just does not define you or your qualities as a person. That's really important to keep in mind.
When I was first planning to go to college, Obviously, I was doing everything. I was doing my supplemental essays, my regular Common App essay. My parents weren't necessarily always, like, on my back, making sure that I was getting everything done. Like, I think because they knew that I was going to get it done by myself. So I feel like a lot of parents don't necessarily need to be, like, as involved in the process, because many students are, like, self-sufficient and motivated in themselves, and that's just adding extra stress, which is really not needed. But of course, like, but of course, there are some students that may need a little extra help. They may need to be reminded of their deadlines, and that's okay. But I think there needs to be an appropriate balance of the students doing it for themselves. It's not the parent who's applying to college.
So I just want to ask a follow up. Well, it's not really related to this, Amanda, but when you told people that you were going to be taking a gap year, what was the response? What were people surprised? Is it something that's talked about as much as, you know, what schools you're applying to, or if you're going directly into a trade, or, you know, you're doing anything like that? Like, I'm just curious what the response was.
I feel like college is definitely, like, expected of you. So when I was telling people, I actually refrained from telling people because I didn't exactly know if that was going to be my plan, so I didn't want to, like, start telling people before it was actually happening. I received mostly positive responses, but I actually got some, like, family friends that were trying to convince me otherwise. But the majority of people who did know me well, like, I did do a study abroad already. I like to learn languages. Like, the culture interests me, so they knew that that would be something that I would love and get a lot out of.
I don't have personal experience with the gap year, but from what we talk about at Chatham, I would say that it's very uncommon, which I don't know if it's for good reason. I would say our counselors never really brought it up to me as an option, and they have webinars or like meetings with like our college and career counselor that have different like varied jobs and opportunities, and they talk to you about like wanting to go into the military or wanting to do something different, but it's never really considered to be very serious. And I think those meetings don't get a lot of interest because students, I don't know if it's parental pressure or like self social pressure and stuff like that. At our school, it's definitely not realistically considered. I think it's definitely a very cool opportunity, especially what you're doing. And like, if you had plans to go straight into a career that didn't need education, it can really save you years and tons of money. I'm realizing now how expensive college is when I'm considering the two schools that I'm debating between at the moment. So if I had known, maybe I don't know if I would have taken a different route. I'd probably still be on the same thing because what I want to do requires schooling. But I think a lot of kids are just going into a random major, going undecided because they don't actually know if it's what they want to do. And they might not end up needing a degree for where they end up anyway.
The position, let's say, that Tanisi's in right now is a junior kind of entering into this, you know, starting the application process, waiting game, you know, waiting for test scores, waiting to go on college visits. There's that, and then submitting your applications. That's very different from the waiting game of, like, okay, waiting for your decisions to come in, right? So I'm looking at you because you're waiting, and I'm looking at you because you're waiting for your decisions, you know, final decisions, and you're waiting to, like, really, you've started the process, but, like, to really, like, be in it. So I'm curious, is it the same type of anticipation? Like, what are you, as a junior, what are you feeling right now? Like,
right now, because junior year is also a hard year academics-wise, it's really important to stay at, like, the tip of your toes. You have to make sure that you're doing SAT coaching, you have to make sure that you're getting A's and that you have a high GPA and you're looking at all these colleges, and you need to make sure that you're a good candidate and that your score fits within that range and that your GPA fits within that range that like of the colleges that you want to go to. And it's really, really stressful for me and like a lot of the people that I know. Right now we're getting our SAT scores back and a lot of or ACT scores back, and a lot of people are making the decisions like, do I want to take another one? Do I want to take a chance? Do I want to try to do more? Like, can I, is it possible for me to do more to get to the place where I want to go?
I have been waiting for decisions for about half a year now. It is the most tragic experience ever. I would say it might be worse than the application process. I would decidedly say that it is worse than the application process for me, because I made the decision to apply so early, which I think took a lot of stress off of me, and I kind of forgot about decisions until December. And I had applied early action so many places that I thought, and once December hit, I would have a good idea of where I was going, if not, no. And then I would have months of being able to decide and make that decision mentally for myself. But instead, here I am. It is March 27th, 28th, 27th. And I still have two decisions to receive, a decision to make by May 1st. And I haven't seen half of the schools. I am completely unsure what I'm going to do, other than I kind of know how the next decisions I'm going to get will impact me, but they are going to impact me. So if I don't get a concrete decision, which is honestly the worst possible choice, I think, I would rather be rejected or accepted on the spot. But schools don't like to do that to you anymore. I have been on 3 wait lists. I am right now. I withdrew from 2 of them. I have been rejected, accepted, deferred many a time. I think I've had every decision that could be possible. And it's honestly very difficult. The deferrals make you wait so much longer, and you think it's not going to come. And then when it does come, they put you on a wait list. And then that wait list, you might be waiting until August 1st to find out. And that just, I can't do that. So that's why I'm withdrawing from the wait list. Were places that I did get into, and I know that I could be happy there if I committed to the school. I just need to mentally commit somewhere, and right now that is impossible because my top two choices are the ones I'm waiting for.
And I'm curious, Delaney, like, your waiting game was different also, right? So talk about yours.
The Naval Academy is semi-rolling. They release decisions about once a month, but I found out a little bit differently. So one thing that they do is, going into your junior or your senior year, if you're like deemed a qualified applicant, you can be invited to an official candidate visit weekend where you'll spend 2 days with an assigned freshman, and they'll take you to their classes. You get to see a little bit more of the life, because it is daunting for a lot of people who haven't had relatives or friends enter service academies or the military life in general. And it's actually a really funny story, really sentimental for my family, because my brother and my dad were both there during my official candidate visit weekend. It was the first moment that I had checked in. We were in an auditorium with about 500 people. There was like 300 seniors or juniors, and then all their families. And they called 3 kids up on stage to receive their full appointments and acceptances to the Naval Academy. And I was one of those kids. So to see the look on my dad's face when I was on stage with the dean of the college, and to see my brother, how happy he was, it was really touching, because my family's not really emotional. Like, we'll say the we'll give an occasional hug, but that's about it. So that was really touching. So I found out in October that I was accepted to the school, and then beyond that, the government has to like technically approve your acceptance, which was another stressful thing for me because the medical site crashed. So I didn't officially find out until December 14th that I was fully qualified and accepted. But now I have a new waiting game. I leave in 96 days, I believe. That's when I report to summer training. So we're trying to get in like the last moments of family time and try to plan out the rest of my senior year to the best of our ability.
Amanda, you have friends that have gone through or waiting now for their decisions to come through.
A lot of my friends actually did early decisions, so we knew about their acceptances, or, well, they ended up being accepted fairly quickly. But then my other friends, some of them get stressed out more easily, and they did apply to probably 20-something school, so they did have their options. But I'm still waiting to. I would just defer my year. So I'm not necessarily as stressed about it because, or stressed at all, to be honest, because I know I can reapply to other school, apply again for schools if I wanted to, or apply to other schools before I actually decide, or after my gap year ends. But I feel like that's also just kind of my personality. Like when I was planning to go to college originally, I wasn't too stressed about the process. I personally didn't do volunteering every weekend or try to make myself like who they wanted to see on the paper. I kind of just wanted to show myself and do what I wanted to do and spend my weekends making experiences that were valuable to me and not necessarily how I would present myself on a piece of paper.
Last question that we're going to end with is, what do you want other people to know about, you know, the college application process? Or what do you wish you knew?
Looking back on the whole process, I wish that I was able to just keep telling myself that there's always like another path to get to the same endpoint, because I did put a lot of pressure on myself to get accepted to the school that I did. And mentally, it was hard for me to accept the possibility of even taking a gap year just because it isn't talked about in our school. But I totally, like, hearing your experience, it's something that sounds so cool to me now. But I do wish that people, like, around me would have told me more, like, there's so many different paths to get to the same place, and really just, like, reinforced that in my mind, because to me, it kind of seemed like a all or nothing in type of situation. And I know it might be different for other people, though.
I would say don't get discouraged so easily. I think it's easy to beat yourself up over a rejection. And while everyone says like rejection is really good for you because you learn from it, it's hard to think about that in the moment. And for me, like, I kind of took it personally every time they rejected me, rather than thinking like, oh, they might not have read my application, or I might not have just been in the score and they were only looking at one part of my application. I felt like I had a lot of interesting things to say on my application. So when they rejected me, I was like, who is doing anything that's more interesting than this? Or how are people like doing more than what I've been doing or getting better scores than I just felt very hurt by it. And I would say that it doesn't necessarily mean anything for your other decisions. So kind of try and keep an open mind. It's hard to keep going once you're at decision number 6 and you're feeling like you're not going to end up where you need to. One decision kind of changed my entire mindset, and now I am happy with where I could be going and excited to see what the other ones lead me to. Kind of try and keep your mind open, but it is easier said than done, and I understand why the process is so tedious and stressful for younger kids.
A question I have for the people who like know what they want to do or know where they want to go, or like even if they don't, what was like kind of the defining factor of you that like you like just where you knew like what path that you wanted to take? And are, like, intern is, like, the GPA and having a good score, like, really that important?
I had a change of heart in career about sophomore year, I think. And it was a very COVID-heavy year for me. And I felt like I needed to be doing something with my time that was more valuable than what I imagine when I think of an office job. It's not something I really particularly would imagine myself enjoying, because I don't really like, my parents both work in a small business, and I don't like sitting down and waiting for like calls and things like that. It's just not who I am. So I always knew I wanted something more active, but I mean, my dreams when I was younger were very vague and didn't have a path to how to get there. So I think sophomore year, like, COVID influenced it a little bit, but I knew that I wanted to do something that could contribute to something larger than myself. I chose the medical field as my path to do that. And so when I knew, like, I wanted to be in the medical field, and I still don't really know what I want to do there, and I'm applying nursing and pre-med to different places to kind of, like, see that. But I just like knew that I had to do something that was going to be fulfilling in and of itself rather than getting me to a place where I can contribute like money or donate or something like that, where I can be fulfilling as well. I just knew like every day I wanted to go home and think like, oh, at least somebody's day was a little brighter.
I think also, though, it's important to mention, like, it's, you know, I think COVID, you guys were, what, sophomores?
Mm-hmm.
Freshmen, sophomores. I think that was obviously a defining moment for everybody, and it's so awesome that, you know, you came out of it and kind of, like, knowing what you wanted to do. But I think that something needs to be said, like, you're also only in high, you're 17, yeah. 16, 15, like, it's okay if you have no earthly idea what it is that you definitely want to focus on. Like, it's just wild that as juniors, you're having to decide, you know, what your career path is going to be. There's, you know, liberal arts schools and, you know, you're able to take lots of classes and kind of make that decision.
Do you want to talk about the other portion of Tanisi's question about essays and all that stuff?
Some schools, they're not reading your essays or they're not reading your letters of recommendation, or they're focusing more on your grades or they're focusing more on your SAT scores. So I think it varies. So you having that wide range is important, but at the same time, there's no need to put pressure on one specific thing, especially if you know that you're not a good test taker, but your grades reflect how well you are as a student, then why stress over the SAT? Especially if you are looking at schools that are test optional or test blind, like there's no need to stress yourself out on it, especially if you know how you'll react to it, given whatever the outcome might be. So I think it definitely depends on the school, obviously. Keep in mind, you can still, like you said, you can wherever school you go to, you can still get to the same career path, whether that's through internships or networking. Just because you're going to like Harvard doesn't automatically mean you're going to be getting into like the top medical school in the country. Like it, that does, you can be going to a little tiny school that only has 500 kids and that's, you'll still end up where you want to go. So I say there's no need to stress on the whole college process in general, but that's just me telling you. That's
easier said than done.
Exactly.
My older sister likes to say, be a big fish.
And so she always said, like, be a big fish. So I guess no matter where you go, like, hold yourself to high standards, but also, like, know that if you go to a school that you don't think is as competitive, you might just be the person that is the, like, top there, and that's just as good.
Yeah. Exactly.
So we'll end this by asking you all to give us one adjective for, if you can think back to when you started the process, and then another word for where you are now in the process. And we know that everyone is kind of at a different stage. So one word for before, one word for now.
I feel like for my before it would be a lot more hopeful, and for right now it's kind of on the more stressful side, but hopefully that'll change.
I was gonna say that my original word might have been like jittery, which I don't know if that makes sense, but almost in an excited and nervous way. And my afterword is, I don't know if this makes sense either, I'm not really good with adjectives, but like influential. So I think right now I'm feeling the effects of, no matter what happens, this is going to have a big influence on my life, which is a very stressful thought, but it's also a very exciting one.
I was also going to use the same two words, being exciting, to start the process, just because it's a new chapter of your life and you're looking to probably move out of your hometown and potentially on the other side of the country, or wherever you decide to go. And then also just exciting as the applications are being sent out because you finally got that off your checklist, and just hearing back, even if it was a rejection, I feel like that was in a sense exciting because you knew you were one step closer to your decision, taking something off your list, even if you were hoping that was going to be one of your potential options. But just the whole process in itself was just a fun time.
Going into the college process, I would say it was exciting because it seemed like there was a lot of opportunities. And now that I'm fully through it, committed to a school, I'm also going to use the same adjective. It's exciting because once everything happens and everything is through, you're going to be happy where, no matter where you land up. You can always find your friends and find your people, and you can make the best of any situation. So I'm excited to see what my future holds, and hopefully it is good.
And as our seniors wrap up this busy yet very exciting time in their lives, We just want to thank all of the members of the Madison-Chatham Coalition Teen Task Force for their participation and open dialogue in this podcast. If you want more information, please head to our website at www.madisonchathamcoalition.org. And if you or someone you know is interested in joining and is a middle or high school student, please head to our Contact Us page for more information on how to join. And with that, thanks for tuning in to Teen Talks College Edition.